You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 37.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Maggie Wild. Maggie is the Potentialist. She is one of Australia's leading clinical therapists, a clinical educator, and mind mentor, specializing in the physical health challenges associated with the body-mind connection. As a thought leader in her field, she is currently focused on sharing her strategies to overcome stress and the yo-yo dieting cycle for good. Maggie empowers her audience to conquer self-esteem and confidence issues and disconnect the link between emotions, stress, and eating patterns. She is an international award-winning author and a dynamic educator of the mind and its potential. Welcome, Maggie. Thank you so much for joining me on Mindful Marketing. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me on.
Fantastic. And I'll let my listeners know that you're joining us from the other side of the world in Melbourne.
<Yes. laughs>
That's always
in Australia.
Always fun. So, you know, I would love to hear your story. If you can share with us your personal journey down towards your life's current purpose and the creation of thepotentialist.com.
Yeah, sure. I started with my background in theatre and marketing. I was discovered, if you like, in my senior year at school in the school production and was asked to join a theatre and education team. So I travelled Australia for a period of about 6 years with a very experienced theatre crew who had all been through the theatre schools here, such as RADA and NIDA. And they basically took me on as a protege and taught me the ropes, and we took theatre into schools and educated on the main theatre themes, or the main school themes that were the education department had provided for us each year. So we were funded by government. And then when the government cut the arts funding, I left the theatre and got a real job, which is my parents had always wanted me to do. And I started working in marketing and advertising. But I was a very messed up soul. So in my teens and my 20s, I was very depressed, very angry, majority of my 20s I spent on the edge of suicide. I was always thinking about it. I had constant thoughts in my head about how to end my life. And I was overweight, and I was the fat kid at school. I was always the last one picked for sports. I was bullied during my school years for the weight and for a number of other things. And so I grew up very angry and resentful. And in my teens, I became quite unwell. And at 21, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, or multiple autoimmune diseases, that progressed over the next sort of 12 or 13 years. And I ended up developing a severe stroke. I had renal failure, where my kidneys were at stage 4, and they were debating on whether to do transplants or dialysis, etc. And I'd known for probably 10, 15 years that there was something wrong in my head. And I had tried to pretend that everything was fine. And I didn't start out to be a therapist. I had no intention of helping anybody else because I knew how messed up I was. And I needed to sort out what was wrong with me. So I was living in England at the time, and I started studying psychology. And thinking that that might give me the answers, it gave me some, but it more or less gave me an understanding of why I was like I was based on child development, etc. But it didn't really give me any strategies to solve it. So I stumbled across hypnosis. I stumbled across brain training therapies and at a conference in my final year. And two girls that I'd been studying with for a number of years had volunteered to go up and be demonstrated upon at that conference. And I just noticed an instant change in them. And so I became very intrigued, and I diverted all of my studies to hypnosis. And I've been passionately studying the mind, how it works, neuroscience, neuroplasticity, brain technology ever since. And worked out how to rewire my brain after the stroke. I was told that I wouldn't be able to walk or talk again. I've never stopped talking since, by the way.
Be prepared. Lovely.
Just being able to rewire my brain, my body, my kidneys are now normal, and I maintain that with regular brain therapy every day.
That's an incredible story. Wow. And the power of the brain. I can't wait to have this conversation. This is wonderful. Mm. So what was the turning point that took you from this is your passion and you're studying all of this to making that a business?
I think it was the kidney failure, actually, because I was already a hypnotherapist. I was already working. I'd started to develop strategies, and I'd become healthier. I'd become more emotionally stable. I'd certainly overcome the depression and overcome the anxiety and the panic and the obsessive emotional eating that had caused me to get where I was as well. And people had noticed a big difference in me. Obviously, I'd lost weight. Obviously, I'd become a better person to be around. I wasn't as stressed and anxious and always angry as well. I short fuse. And people started to ask if I could help them or I could show them some strategies. And before long, I had a full-time job, but I was also filling up my weekends with treating people in my lounge room. And it eventually sort of dawned on me that really I was a therapist. And, you know, the person I was working for at the time on a magazine just said to me, "I don't know what you're doing. Why don't you just, you're so good at it. You're getting such amazing results. Just start the practice, just do it." And I struggled along for a couple of years with it. I did. And I was booked out more on reputation than good management for the first couple of years. And it wasn't until I realized that I had decided I could, as a lot of mind, body, spirit therapists do, I made the mistake of deciding that I was here to heal the world, whereas in fact, I had to be a business owner as well. So, you know, I struggled along. It always brought in enough to pay the bills. I was coping financially with it, but I wasn't, it was hard work. I was exhausting my body, and I would end up back in hospital, which is where the kidney failure occurred. Because I wasn't working cleverly. I was working in my old traditional belief systems, which were you had to work hard to make money, that you had to, you know, money was hard to come by, etc. And so I had all of those belief systems still operating in the brain. And so when the kidney failure happened, it was a final wake-up call, if you like, where I just thought, I've got to work smarter. I've got to work in a way that does help people, that, you know, that's my goal and my focus is to make sure that I can reach as many people as possible to help them understand that their brain can change and that they have some very simple skills. Once they learn how to use those innate skills that the brain has and they learn how to tailor it, they can rewire their mind to do whatever they want and achieve whatever they want. But I couldn't do that and reach as many people as I could possibly do if I ended up dying because of it. And so the kidney failure, if you like, was that last straw for me where I just thought, you know what, put your marketing head on here, girl. You're not just a therapist. You have to wear more than one hat and you have to allow time to market. You have to structure that into your week. You have to allow at least 1 to 2 days a week, which is totally about marketing yourself, marketing the business, creating product, creating strategies to reach a bigger audience. Because if that's what your goal is, if you want to get to as many people as possible to tell them that they're in control of their life and their brain, then you have to do it as a businesswoman, not just as a therapist.
That's such an important point, because in mind, body, spirit, you're right. We just want to help. We'll just help you. But it's a business. And you can help so many more people if you treat it as a business. And that's the key.
And maintain your own health. You know, I treat a lot of practitioners themselves now where, you know, they've become burnt out because they're not managing the work that they're doing in a healthy way for their own body. And, you know, I train practitioners in clinical hypnosis who burn out so, so quickly because they're giving energy. Every healer is giving energy and sharing their energy and drawing upon source. Yes, absolutely. But it is exhausting for the physical body if you aren't managing that in a healthy way.
Absolutely. So what do you think are the specific challenges that we face in the mind, body, spirit community?
I think it is the balance of the multiple hats being the marketer, being the therapist, being the caregiver at home as well. You know, if you have children, if you have family at home, it's being the bank account manager, the bookkeeper. It's being all of those hats and being able to be there 100% with your clients as well. And so, you know, somebody who works intuitively normally can do that and they can just switch off. But then you've got to learn how to switch back on. And I certainly was challenged with that in the early years, being able to switch back on and keep, you know, my tax up to date and keep all of the stuff that when you're in that creative, intuitive healing mode, you just don't want to manage it. You can't bring your head back into that space. And it's about learning how to step out of the therapy practice and become the mum or become the wife or become the sister or the brother or the bookkeeper or the accountant or whatever it is that you have to do to manage your business as well.
Yeah. And I'll say a key part there too is then if you are making it a real business, then you can bring in partners to do that. And,
yes.
You know, hire the accountant, hire the people that what is not your unique ability should be done by somebody else.
Absolutely. And that's definitely one of the awarenesses I came to at some point. It was probably about 4 years ago, which was a big turning point for the business to become much more profitable, was I managed it enough to become financially secure enough to be able to afford outsourcing. Yeah. And now whatever is not my specialty, whatever if my goal is I want to make $1 million by July, then what do I need to do that? What hats do I need to wear to make it happen? And what can I outsource to make it happen easier and more smoothly for me?
Yeah. And then it happens quicker too that way.
Very much so.
Yeah. So what is the marketing strategy that works best for you in reaching your ideal client? And who is that ideal client?
The ideal client for me it evolved over a couple of years. I looked at the client base that I had. I obviously kept a very good database of clients and I looked at the average age group. I looked at the gender. I looked at the issues that people were coming with. And I actually called my client, my avatar, if you like. I called her Jenny and she's between 40 and 60. And that's not to say I don't get younger clients or older clients. I've got clients in their 80s, but the majority of clients that tend to come to me, if that makes sense, that female in the 40 to 60, they're just coming to that space in their life where they've, you know, might have done it hard. They're feeling really empty. They've given their lives to their children, their jobs, their partners, and they haven't quite learned how to prioritize their health and their well-being as well. And so that's my ideal client. The way I get them, the majority of things, the ease at which a client comes to me easily is through referrals, obviously, that's a big one. But I got very good at doing presentations and talks. And when I do a talk now, I've been able to learn how to my ultimate intent for every talk that I give and everything that I do is to give good information, to give real strategies and to teach people how to manage the inner critic processes that keep them stuck in a fat suit or keep them doing the negative sabotage patterns. So my ultimate intent is to help the person understand that they're in control and that they've got strategies to do it. But what I do is also use those talks to help the client understand that if they can't manage that themselves, Yeah, it's, you know, like any good consultant does, you can give lots of great information, but the majority of people take that information and they put it on the shelf at home and they never do anything with it. So what I do when I'm doing talks is offer people, you know, you can take this home and you can do this yourself. You can actually manage this all of yourself and achieve, and we'll provide you some support, email support, et cetera, to do that. But if you find that you can't manage it yourself, or if you are stuck, or if you feel that you need support through this process, then we're available for one-on-one consultations, Skype consultations, group workshops, live events, etc.
That's the best way to do it, right? You give them as much as they can, let them go, and then when they get stuck, then they come back. And that's how you know you get the great client. And I love how you have an avatar. All my clients that work with me know we do the avatar process, and they're like, what is this? Yep. I'm like, it's a mandatory thing.
Yep. And it works. It so works, because when I write my marketing copy now, I'm writing to Jenny. When I write my books, I'm writing to Jenny. When I'm recording my audios, I'm channeling them for Jenny. And they're working. People are hearing it. Clients are reveling in it, and the change is happening.
Yeah, it's great. Are you using social media? And is there a certain platform that works better for you than another?
I am using it clumsily up until now, and somehow or other I've managed to evolve quite a big LinkedIn following and quite a big Facebook following. I haven't really focused on Twitter at all, but I've just outsourced to a marketing team recently, and I can't handle it all anymore. And we've got a team of two consultants that actually work together as their business, and they have a team of staff. And so they are working on building the Facebook, and certainly Facebook at this stage has been the most, I'm going to say the word profitable, but I don't mean that financially only. I mean that as in I'm able to reach people so much more easily, and I'm able to provide with Facebook a lot of private groups that for people that come to my live events, etc. So I can provide sort of little membership sites, if you like, within that sphere as well. So I found, for me personally, Facebook, purely because I know it better, and because I focused my attention before I employed the marketing team, I focused my attention there. LinkedIn, for some reason, I haven't done anything with it, but I've organically grown quite a few thousand followers, connections there. I haven't done anything with it consciously, but I have plans to use that in the future, and I see huge potential for my practitioner side of that business. I've got therapists all around the world that I train, and I do therapy for the therapists programs and webinars, etc.
Yeah, LinkedIn is such a key when you're in that professional level of health like you are. That is that's such a powerful tool, really.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, one of my big goals is to help therapists understand that they don't have to wear all the hats, and how to manage the ones they're currently wearing without burning themselves out, because they're there to help people. They're there to heal and to share that intent and that wisdom with other people. And the only way they can do that is if their pot of joy is filled.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you advertising on social media, and do you have a marketing budget for it, or is it more just organic?
It's organic at this stage, but the marketing team set aside a marketing budget and are using it to market. We're about to launch a webinar series very shortly, which is my two-day live event turned into an eight-week program on live webinars. And that will be marketed on Facebook through a financial budget. And the marketers that I'm using have certainly used that successfully for their own business and for their other clients. And they know how to manage that. And I'm quite confident in what they're doing there.
Fantastic.
So it's something I would recommend.
Yeah, I will say this to my listeners, that if you're doing a larger launch, Facebook, if you have the right team, is unbelievable what you can do with it. Because if you with the team that has the experience, they can set up tripwires to bring them in, so that you're really building your list of buyers and not just the list if you're doing it right. So that's fantastic.
Yep. No, I'm with you on that.
So let's talk a little bit about your book, Mind Potential Unzip. And I know you've got another one coming up. Let's talk about your book and your creation process for the book.
The Unzip the Fat Suit Using Your Mind book, which is the current one, came about because I had a series of mind potential books that I always knew I wanted to write. There's 10 in the series. And I'd had a very clear image one night in a dream and, you know, I awoke to write it all down, that there's this series of books that I'm to write about the brain and how it affects different parts of our body, our health, our emotional stability, our relationships, every aspect of our life. And I looked at each of the topics that I was wanting or inspired to write about, and I looked at my client base. I looked at the workbooks and the things that I already had up and running, because I had a two-day weight loss program. I had a six-week weight loss program that I taught live as well. I had a smoking program that I taught live as well as to practitioners to help their clients. I had a number of different things already partially written as workbook material that I was using as workshop and live event seminar programs. And I looked at the weight loss one because the majority of my clients were coming to me talking about the battle in the head between the part of them that wanted to lose weight versus the part of them that would sabotage it. And no matter how many times they would try, they would sabotage themselves. And, you know, it might be a week after a week, the diet wouldn't work anymore. Or if it was, I had clients who'd lost 30, 40, you know, 50 pounds, one lady who'd lost 160 pounds and gained and lost it back and gained it again. And so I looked at that ongoing issue with weight and that yo-yo dieting problem that the majority of dieters face. And the dieter attitude is so deeply ingrained in people's brains. And I just felt passionate about helping people let go of the dieter's beliefs and the dieter's attitudes, the dieter's addiction. There's an addiction to dieting, and we don't actually need to diet to lose weight. We need to trust our body, love our body, listen to our body, and just have less of and less often the unhealthy foods. And I looked at the parts of the brain that can be rewired to break sabotage, the parts of the brain that need to be rewired to control cravings, and the parts of the brain that need to be rewired in order to create permanent change. And there are three specific parts of the brain that need to do that. And I'd been working with clients in clinic, and I'd been using three different types of hypnosis that worked on each of those three parts of the brain. And I thought, well, how do I turn that into a program for weight as well? And so I devised the three, what I call them, the CPR Mind Potential Kit, which stands for control, program, and rewire. So it's controlling unhelpful habits, cravings, urges, sabotage patterns, programming in the emotional part of the brain, the new foundation for slim and healthy, so smaller portions, healthy options, pushing excess food away, choosing to move your body, or drinking water, all of those things. And then the third part of the brain, which is the cerebellum, which needed to be, that's our instinctive part of the brain, the oldest part of the brain, and it's the thing that drives our habits and instincts. And so when that part is programmed with a blueprint of slim and healthy, then it's always trying to get the person there. So for me, the book came about because I knew I could help people. I'd seen it with my clients, but I could help them break the yo-yo effect and make their change permanent. And that was the inspiration for the book. And it's just become a sensation. We won an award in New York earlier this year. It's been on national television here numerous times. I was on television in America back in July and June this year. It's had immense success, and organically, again, it's just become incredibly popular and incredibly successful, because it's the message people have been missing, that their brain, if they change their brain, they can change their body permanently, rather than if they do another diet, they're just going to get what they've always got, which is the dieter's attitude. And the dieter's attitude says, I'm here to fail because I've failed before in the past.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on the awards and all the recognition. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Especially as an author, I know that's, it's such I don't want to say struggle, a challenge sometimes that people face with as creating a book that's their baby and getting it out there. So that is really fantastic.
Letting go of a book that's become your baby so that it can actually reach people. That's, you know, one of the, you'll find, I'm sure that you found it as well. It takes courage to actually put it out there and have it judged.
Yep. That judgment is scary as all hell.
Absolutely. No matter how far along your journey, everybody fears judgment.
So how do you distinguish yourself? And I think I know the answer because of the brain science, but how do you what's your biggest distinction between what you do and how you help your clients versus someone that would be what I call complementers versus competitors?
Yeah, again, it is the brain science. So it is one of the things I am doing is teaching the three different layers of the brain and providing the strategies. One of the big things that I believe distinguishes me from other therapists out there doing what I'm doing or other dietitians or health experts associated with fitness and health is that I focus on the whole mind, body, spirit as a complete system. And if you like, the three different types of hypnosis programs that I've created, the CPR, works on the three different levels of the mind, body, spirit. It works on the brain, the heart, and the gut, the instinct. It works on the cortex of the brain, the limbic system, the emotional brain, and the cerebellum, the instinct system as well. So it's working on the body and the spirit at the same time. And it is rewiring at that deeper core level, the permanent blueprint, because whatever the permanent blueprint is in the cerebellum, the subconscious mind is always going to be fighting to get the person back there because that's its representation of what's safe. Because its role, the subconscious role, is to keep you alive. That's its sole role and purpose, to protect you and keep you alive. And so if the blueprint in the cerebellum at the subconscious level is that you are, I don't know, 140 pounds, yeah, or 180 pounds or 220 pounds, whatever the blueprint is, your subconscious mind is always going to be fighting and causing urges and thoughts and emotions that are going to keep you getting back to that original blueprint. So if you change the blueprint, then the subconscious mind is going to be fighting to keep you slim and healthy. It's going to be fighting to keep you at a healthy weight.
That's fantastic. And I have to say my own personal experience, I'm like, I've always been kind of the same weight, but when I started meditating and which is, you know, my own little version of my brain science, what a difference it made that cravings for me that I used to have suddenly just disappeared. And it was fascinating when I realized the connection. So I can only imagine if you're really getting down to the core part of the brain, what you can do, how powerful that is.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And it really does change. And meditation is, you know, if your meditation is deep, if you're going to a very deep level in your meditation, you're actually dropping into what's called the theta state anyway, which is hypnosis. So if you're trained enough and skilled enough to give yourself the right suggestions, you can be doing that for yourself as well, which is for some people they can. For some people, they find it more challenging to get into meditation or hypnosis. And that's why we provide the audios as well as part of the book, because that the book comes with the 13 CPR audios, 7 of the C audios to control unhelpful habits and to put a stop to the cravings. Then there's 3 program audios, which are about programming the blueprint for motivation to move the body, for managing stress, because stress creates the belly fat hormone cortisol. And so we want to switch that off. And also for letting go of greedy appetite. So learning, you know, normal portions of food, etc. And then you've also got 4 rewire audios, which are about rewiring the cerebellum for permanent change through repetition and rhythm.
Fantastic. Well, I can't wait to hear them. I'm going to add that to my list. So with marketing, what has been your biggest challenge as you've created your company and started to move everything out there?
Learning how to manage it all as the business grew. I think that's probably it. And learning to let go and to outsource. Learning to find the right people. I had trial and error. I went through a couple of people that were not right. But just understanding that that's just another lesson. That's just something that I need to find wisdom on. And so what did I learn from that in order to find the right person this time? And so, yeah, it is about trusting your instinct more and more. And the more I did that within my business and within the marketing of my business and stopped letting the ego operate it, then all of a sudden when instinct was running it, nine times out of 10, I made the right decision. So trusting yourself, I think, to listen to what's right and hear it, act upon it rather than, you know, learning how to distinguish between what the ego wants and what the gut and the instinct and the spirit wants.
Well said. Listen to that instinct. It should be so easy, but it is so difficult.
It is very challenging. And you know, I still make mistakes, as I'm sure everybody does, but it's about 9 times out of 10 now, I can just close and I will meditate on it. I will go into hypnosis on it 3 or 4 times before I make a decision.
That's a great suggestion. Yeah, well, yeah, just right, breathe in. I do biofeedback when I'm unsure and I just listen. And if you really listen, you know, and it's amazing.
Yes, it is.
So as an entrepreneur, is there one piece of software that you use that you couldn't live without?
Well, we've only just started. We've moved across with the marketing team to Fusionsoft. And so far, I'm kind of thinking it's pretty good. it's managing, you know, the whole follow-up series. It's managing the email promotional series, the webinar release series, the client collection, the database. It's managing all of that. You're able to determine where the leads are coming from, who's bought what, and how to nurture them. And yeah, at this stage, and it's early days with Fusionsoft for me, but at this stage, Fusionsoft seems to have a lot of answers. Also, GoToWebinar I use. I know there are other webinar software packages. I haven't tried any others. There are faults with GoToWebinar as well as there are good points about it. At this stage, it's serving my purpose. Whether I change from it or not at a later stage, then I don't know. But at this stage, it is serving a purpose.
Yeah, you never know. And then suddenly there's this new fandangled software and you're like, oh, it's perfect. So yeah. Keep your eyes open. So looking back on your journey, if you had to do it all over again, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
I trust my gut earlier. What would I do differently? I would have not a great deal. A couple of things where I invested quite a bit of money in programs that I hadn't really researched enough. So I'd probably do a little bit more research. But that's probably it, because each mistake I've made along the way, it's taught me more about my own coping mechanisms, my own capabilities, my strengths and my weaknesses as well anyway. So there's not a lot I wouldn't do again. There's maybe just more research I would do where I may have made different decisions where to invest my money, and I probably would have got to the ability to outsource the marketing far earlier if I'd done that. I would have been able to afford it far earlier.
Gotcha. Yeah, having that team in place is so important. So where do you see yourself going from here in building your platform? What are the next steps for you?
Well, the next steps are joint venture operations. We've got a couple of possibilities. I do believe that I don't, have you talked to your audience about joint ventures? I'm sure that you have.
A little bit, yes, but you should feel free to elaborate.
So, yes, we've got a couple of irons in the fire with people who are aligned in the industry that I'm in and who believe that I'm aligned with them. And so we're discussing potential joint ventures where we market each other's programs. With the webinars, a lot of my stuff is about moving what I'm currently doing live and moving it into an online format with live webinars and then recorded webinar processes from there, so that I can be rolling out the next books. At the moment, all of my time is spent touring the country and touring America, doing workshops and live events, and I'm not getting the time to, you know, I've got 2 other books that I've got half finished and I'm not getting the time to actually finish them. So we're currently turning lots of our stuff into online events so that I can actually start producing the next books and get the next material out there. So that's probably the future with it for me at this stage. It's organic and it's changing all the time, as any good developing business is. But at this stage, that seems to be what's working.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, and I always say if you can build that passive income, that's the way to do it.
Yes.
Put it online. So any last bit of advice to my listeners that might just be starting their business or hesitant about going down the path of creating a business around their life passion?
Get good at public speaking. Get rid of your fears about it, if you have any, because when your audience connects with you, then 9 times out of 10, they're going to become a client, or they're going to ask to be on your list so that they stay in touch with you. And if you're giving great free tips, always with an intent to help the person out, the audience out, then it organically grows. And don't forget traditional media as well. I know social media is really, really important and it is a vital part of a modern business, but a lot of my client base comes from traditional media, not me paying for advertising. I don't do that anymore. I used to, and I spent a lot on it and made a lot of mistakes there. But on get good at writing yourself, or if you can't do it, if writing is not your specialty and marketing is not your specialty, outsource it to somebody who writes really good press releases. And look at your local area. And, you know, what are your local newspapers, your local free newspapers, your local free magazines and things? And just submit lots of little local tidbits and tips for your local audience, and build a relationship with a local editor or a local journo, and become the go-to person in your community, in your town, for any time they're talking about that particular issue. So if you specialize in stress, or if you specialize in emotional well-being or certain diseases or Reiki or a certain type of therapy, then become known for that, specialize, and then create yourself two or three little timely press releases around the times of the years where you have, you know, certain days, which are the National Non-Smoking Day or the National Heart Foundation Day or the National Kidney Health Day or whatever it is. And if that's your area of specialty, then write press releases and send them out to your local journos and get media, because honestly, you get a true article, not a paid article, but a true article in a magazine or a newspaper or on television that a journalist is doing on you as an expose, rather than as you putting an advert or an advertorial in. The amount of leads you get from that is astronomical. You get instant credibility. So don't forget, yes, do social media, prime, but don't forget traditional media and outsource. Just get yourself three or four really good press releases that are timed around your special area of expertise and timed to local events and local conferences that may be operating in your town, et cetera. Tie them in.
That is fantastic advice. And I actually work with my clients quite a bit now on that. And and it seems daunting, but it's with the right expertise and the little knowledge and really just doing it that gets you
absolutely
in there. Yeah.
And it only takes one or two articles. Like I've must have appeared, I can't tell you how many times, in national magazines and international newspapers such as, you know, the London Daily Mail, a couple of other things. But it all started with me just sending out a couple of press releases and following those press releases up. Just don't send it and hope that it's going to happen. You need to follow them up and ring the journalist and just ask, did you get my press release? And, you know, what are the topics that you specialize? Journalists will specialize in particular areas and they write about specific topics. And so get to know your local journos for your local newspapers. And local newspapers, those freebie newspapers, et cetera, they're always looking for good information. It needs to be good information, tips for their readers, tips for their audience, good research that you can tie your work into, scientific research that you can tie your work into, et cetera. And you get that information out to your local paper. That's where you want to build a business, isn't it, in your local community to start with, before you then go online and go to the bigger community as well.
That's, again, fantastic advice. Well, you've been wonderful. If my listeners want to reach you, how would they find you? Because I have a sneaking suspicion this Mind Potential Unzipped, getting out of the fat suit. And I know I didn't say that last part right, but the concept of it, that's going to be a huge thing.
Well, my website is thepotentialist.com. But if your audience and if your readers and listeners are interested, they can get a free synopsis, if you like. It's like two chapters taken from the book, but written specifically for this, with free audios that go with it to start that process, 1C, 1P and 1R audio. And it's called Get Thin Formula. So if they go to getthinformula.com, they can get the free book, they can get the free audio that goes with that as well. So they're more than welcome to get that if they want to just try it out, test it for themselves first before they, you know, consider buying a book or anything like that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. And again, you've been lovely and you've given some amazing advice that I have to say has been a little unique for some of my interviewees. So it's been wonderful. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, Be inspired and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.